Hey there, everybody. Welcome on into installment 3 of Patriots A to Z here at Locked On Patriots. Mark Schofield back in the big chair for the third installment of what I hope is a fun and informative series for all the lovely listeners here to the Locked On Patriots podcast. This is, again, the third installment. We're going to be doing the letters E and F. Today's show brought to you by the letters E and F. We're going to talk some of the players, some of the plays, and some of the moments, particularly one moment in mind here that I'm going to get into on today's installment of the show. We're going to do a little bit of news here at the beginning, not news in terms of the Patriots, but news about this show. I wanted to give people some news about upcoming dates and things like that so you can plan accordingly. But before we do anything, your usual reminders. As you know, please follow along with the hijinks over on the Twitter machine at Mark Schofield. Check out the work of places like InsideThePylon.com, Pro Football Weekly, Matt Waldman's Rookie Scouting Portfolio. Got a fun piece about Colt Brennan, believe it or not, and the future of quarterback evaluation. You can check that out, MattWaldmanRSP.com. And yes, that trio of SB Nation websites, Big Blue View, Bleeding Green Nation, and yes, of course, Pat's Pulpit. Now, I said there was going to be a little bit of news. Fear not. I'm not really going anywhere or anything like that. Not leaving you all in the lurch as we start phase two of the offseason program, but I did want to give you an update on phase two. I was waiting for something to sort of time out and sketch out exactly when things are going to happen. And the Patriots, they came through for me this week, announcing that training camp begins, players report July 21st, which is a Sunday. The first public practice will be July 25th, I believe. Yes, I got that date right, July 25th. So I've sketched out how this is going to work. We are doing five shows a week this week and next week, and we are going to finish, as it stands right now, phase two of our offseason program on July 10th. That will be your Y and Z show, which it might be a quick one. Not a lot there. Can I talk about Yaz? So that's going to be up through July 10th. Then we get the two-week hiatus. We will go off air in terms of new stuff, like full-on new stuff for 2 weeks. We're going to go until July 24th. We will be back that Wednesday, so we'll have a couple of days of training camp to get you caught up on. During that two-week period, I will be running like shows every day, doing best of stuff. So there will be stuff that maybe if you haven't listened to, like last year when I did the Super Bowl Revisited stuff, if there are particular shows you guys would like to hear again or anything like that, let me know. I'll get them loaded up, queued up for you. If news does break, I will always have access to a microphone and a computer. I'm not going anywhere during that period of time that's going to keep me away from the news. I'm not going away from social media. I'm not going full-on media blackout mode. I'm just taking a break from doing these shows just for a period of time because it's been basically 2 years without a vacation from doing these. So Papa Bear's going to get a taste, as they said, in Wedding Crashers. But I did want to get you up to speed on that. And again, if anything breaks, I'll be back on the microphone. But let's not waste any more time. Let's get into it. Patriots A to Z, part three here today, doing the letters E and F. As far as E's, when it comes to Patriots players, there are some players to mention. Tony Eason, for example, part of that legendary quarterback class of 1983 out of the University of Illinois, drafted in the first round, 15th overall. During his time with the Patriots, started a number of games for the New England Patriots, started over 44 games to be exact, if my math is right on that. Helped lead them to a Super Bowl. His best season for the Patriots, probably 1986. The year after the Super Bowl, he started 14 games, which would be his career high. Completed 61.6% of his passes for 3,228 yards, a career high. 19 touchdowns, not quite a career high. He had 23 in 1984. He was also sacked 59 times in 1984, which led the league. Yeah, that was kind of a big number. But Tony Eason, kicking us off here on Patriots A to Z Part 3. Another player to remember, Robert Edwards. Remember Robert Edwards? Played one season, just one season for the Patriots. Drafted 18th overall, and his rookie year appeared in 16 games, started 15, 291 rushes for 1,115 yards, a line of 53, averaged 69.7 per game and 9 touchdowns. Got him to the Pro Bowl in Hawaii, where he appeared in that beach football game and suffered a devastating knee injury. He would not play for the Patriots again. He did make it back to the league in 2002, so 4 years later. did not start a game, appeared in 11 for the Miami Dolphins, 20 rushing attempts for just 107 yards, did get a touchdown. But you wonder what could have been. And interestingly enough, it is What If Week over at Pat's Pulpit, so maybe somebody's going to write about Robert Edwards. Some other players to remember. Heath Evans, fullback for the Patriots from 2005 to 2008 out of the University of Auburn. Also spent some time with Seattle, Miami, now on the NFL Network, or was for a period of time. You remember him jumping off sides in an AFC Championship game against the Colts. That was a devastating call, but Heath Evans, a member of the New England Patriots. Also, there are, of course, some current members of the Patriots. Nate Ebner, special teams ace out of Ohio State, the rugby player. Danny Etlin, is he going to lock down that QB3 spot or the QB2 spot, or is he going to lose out on that? The quarterback drafted in last year's draft out of Louisiana State and was drafted in the 7th round, pick 219 overall. And, of course, Julian Edelman. Longtime player now for the New England Patriots, drafted in the 7th round, 232nd pick overall out of Kent State, where he was a quarterback, has served in a variety of roles for the New England Patriots. Early in his career, it was primarily on special teams, played some defensive back. We all remember him covering Anquan Boldin on the final drive of an AFC Championship game. Not a matchup you'd expect to see when the season starts, but there you go, a guy that does his job. And we're going to spend some more time on Edelman in the final part of the show. Let's now get to the Fs. We've got a number of Fs to get through when it comes to players for the New England Patriots. Kevin Falk, also out of Louisiana State, LSU, running back for a number of years, spent his entire career in New England. He came out, was drafted in the 2nd round, 46th overall, the 1999 draft. His final year in New England was 2011. Appeared in 161 games and 47 starts, 864 rushing attempts for over 3,600 yards, averaged 4.17 yards per carry, and 16 rushing touchdowns. He was also very effective as a receiver. 431 catches for 3,701 yards, averaging 8.59 yards per reception, had 15 receiving touchdowns. Obviously a pivotal player for this franchise during his time in New England. One of my favorite Falk plays is the direct snap with Brady faking like it had gone over his head. Going back to the archives, Dick Felt. No, I'm not just mentioning him because of the name, but when this team was in the AFL, he was a member of the Patriots from 1962 to 1966. During his time with the Patriots, racked up 12 interceptions over the course of 5 seasons. He also, on his career, had 1 pick 6, but that was when he was with the Jets. But his best season as a pro was his first season with the Boston Patriots. 5 interceptions that season, a career high. So Dick Felt, a throwback to the 1960s when the Patriots were in the AFL. Cameron Fleming, reserve offensive lineman for the Patriots, saw some action as a, part-time starter. He started during his time in New England. He started 19 games, if I did my math right. And then he was most recently with the Dallas Cowboys. Another member, former member of the Patriots, Trey Flowers. Pay that man his money, right? Well, the Detroit Lions, they did pay him his money. Trey Flowers getting a big $90-plus million contract over 5 years just this offseason from the Detroit Lions. Doug Flutie. I remember, you're a kid playing quarterback growing up in the Boston area in the, 80s and 90s. Doug Flutie was the guy you wanted to be. Flutie had 2 different stints in New England. First from 1987, 1988, 1989. Then he finished his career in New England in the 2005 season. He did not appear in any games, but attempted 10 passes, completed 5 of them for 50%. Did not throw a touchdown, but he also had that drop kick, remember? Doug Flutie. Member of Patriots lore. Tony Franklin, the barefooted kicker. We've had a lot of references to that Super Bowl 20 team. Tony Franklin was a member of that team, the barefooted kicker, one of the last barefooted kickers in the National Football League. Spent some time with the Eagles before coming in to the New England Patriots. In 1986, he led the league with both field goals made in 32 and field goals attempted 41. Again, with bare feet. And if you look at some of his splits, for example, You look at his ability to kick from distance. In 1986, he attempted 16 field goals from 40 to 49 yards and made 9 of them. In 1985, he was 2 for 2 on kicks over 50 yards, kicking with a bare foot. Get the guy some love and a sock. Finally, in terms of the old-timers or the former Patriots, Russ Francis, tight end for the New England Patriots for a number of seasons, from 1975 to 1980, and then a second stint from 87 to 88. He also spent some time with San Francisco. His best year with New England, probably 1980, where he had 8 touchdown receptions, didn't get any credited starts, but did have 41 receptions, which tied his career high. Actually, it was second. He also had 41 receptions in 1986 with San Francisco, but his career high was 44. But in terms of yardage, that 80 season was his most productive with 664 yards receiving. Of course, there are some current members of the Patriots, the last name of F. We've got James Ferenc, reserve offensive lineman from Iowa, of course. Hilde Froholt from Arkansas. Expecting or hoping for big things from him. Finally, there are two names that we have to mention on the coaching side of things when we talk about Patriots A to Z in the letters E and F. First is Chuck Fairbanks. Chuck Fairbanks was a head coach for the New England Patriots for a number of seasons and during a time when the Patriots were very good. He was named head coach of the New England Patriots on January 26, 1973. And his first draft, here are some of the names he drafted. Players we've talked about already, players we're going to get to. John Hanna, Sam Cunningham, Ray Hamilton, and Daryl Stanley. Now, this team went 5-9 his first year. There was a player strike in 1974. He had a falling out with quarterback Jim Plunkett, who played for the Patriots. And he was traded to San Francisco. The team left the 1975 season behind at 3-11, but they drafted Steve Grogan that year. In 1976, they went 11-3. They took on the Raiders, who were 13-1 in the first round of the NFL playoffs. The Patriots entered the fourth quarter with a 21-10 lead, but some controversial calls, such as a rough in the passer, a phantom rough in the passer penalty on Ray Hamilton, the aforementioned Ray Hamilton, overruled a late incompletion. Ken Staley dove into the end zone with 8 seconds left, and the Patriots lost 24-21. Now, Fairbanks would eventually leave the team in 1979, but Fairbanks was a huge part of the Patriots' success during the 1970s. Now, one of his coaches, Ron Erhart, one part, along with another coach, Ray Perkins, of the Ernst Perkins system that we've talked about a ton on this show. He was with the New England Patriots. Earnhardt was started in 1973 through 1976, where he's their running backs coach. He was their offensive coordinator in 1977 to 1978. He was their interim co-head coach in 1978. And then he was the head coach of the Patriots from 1979 to 1981. He took over saying that he's never been a loser, and I don't intend to start now, referring to his time at North Dakota State. But over his 2 years as the head coach, the Patriots finished just 19-13 overall, missed the playoffs by one game each season, and they finished 2-14 in 1981, and he was fired at the end of the 1981 season. But Chuck Fairbanks, Ron Erhart, obviously a huge part of the Patriots from the 70s and into the 80s, and their offensive system, that Ernst Perkins system, is something they're still running today. Up next, we're going to talk about some of the plays, mostly with the letter F, and even some motion that the New England Patriots use to be who they are today. That's ahead on part 3 of Patriots A to Z here at Locked On Patriots. Mark Schofield back with you, and I'm glad that I've started taking notes and actually using notes for these shows. I used to sort of just run through it off the cuff because I missed a player with the last name of F that, let's face it, I'd be hearing about it if I didn't mention this player because it's my mom's favorite Patriot. Well, favorite Patriot pre-Troy Brown, who then became my mom's favorite Patriot, and then it was Malcolm Mitchell because of what he does. But Irvin Fryer, Patriots wide receiver, obviously during some of the great Patriots teams of the 80s, that team that made it to, again, Super Bowl 20. Irvin Fryer, remember that team? Drafted out of Nebraska in the first round, first overall selection. spent a number of years with the New England Patriots from 1984 to 1992 as part of that Super Bowl 20 team. His best year as a pro, though, came in 1997 with the Philadelphia Eagles when he appeared in and started all 16 games, had 86 catches, which was not a career high. He had 88 the year prior with Philly, but for 1,316 yards. He had 6 touchdowns that year. He had 11 touchdowns the year prior. So he had some 2 really good years with the Eagles there. Also finished his career in Washington the year 2000. But for that Super Bowl team, at 1985-1986 Patriots team, started 14 out of 16 games, 39 receptions for 670 yards and 7 touchdowns. Those 7 touchdowns would be his highest while wearing the Patriots uniform. So Urban Fryer had to get him in, didn't want to get any little backlash to missing on Urban Fryer. But let's talk some of the scheme stuff, some of the plays. Interestingly enough, I've gone through the Patriots playbook a couple of times. Can't find a lot of stuff to talk about when it comes to the letter E. So these are all going to be some Fs, some F words for you. Let's start with basically just some routes. And the Patriots have a number of routes that are designated by the letter F. First is flag, as you might expect, a corner route. Receiver breaks vertically, cuts inside to a depth of about 12 yards, and then you're breaking outside. And you really want to get your best vertical stem and aim 40 yards downfield on the sideline. That is your aiming point. So that is flag, a part of the Patriots playbook. Patriots also have fast, another route in their playbook. And the fast route, it's basically a slant route. You push up field 5 steps, plant off your outside foot, cross the defender's face, and show your numbers to the quarterback. Coaching point on the flag on the fast route, emphasis on speed off the line and speed through the break point. Stay flat and do not drift. So it's basically a slant, but that is fast, part of the Patriots playbook. Patriots also have follow in. This is an inside release to a depth of 9 yards and break inside, roll into a depth of 12 yards between the hashes. Coaching point, you cannot be short. You got to get to the depth. Coaching point number 2, after your break, work slightly downhill. Coaching point 3 versus man-to-man, you square off this in cut at 14 yards. And coaching point 4, this is basically a reverse speed out. Let's talk some two-man concepts here. And there are a number that begin with F. Well, actually, excuse me, just one that begins with F. And that's foot. And what is the foot concept? Well, foot is basically a two-man concept that is run out of basically a stack formation. It is a flag and an option route, although the option route usually comes out of the backfield, although you can have it where it's a motion into a stack slot. But generally what you're going to get is a flag route from the slot receiver and an option route out of the backfield, although if it's run out of a stack slot, you get a flag route, and then an option route again from the receiver motioning towards the stack, and then he runs basically that option where you can break outside, you can settle to the outside, you can break inside, or you can settle to the inside, all dependent on what the defense shows you. So that is the three-man concept known as foot in the Patriots passing game. That's a two-man concept. Three-man concepts, there's a couple to get to here. Patriots start with a fool, which is out of the bunch. You have that outside receiver runs a juke route. I'm going to spend more time on juke when we get to J. But juke is basically you start on a slant and you can either sit down, stay across, or break back to the outside. Then the middle receiver in this bunch, the apex receiver, runs a flag. And the inside receiver, that number 3 receiver, runs the diagonal, which as we talked about yesterday is sort of that route directly to the flat at a depth of about 2 to 3 yards. And then, similar to what we talked about yesterday with Chump and Chump H2HO, there is Fool and Fool HO. On Fool HO, you get that middle receiver, the apex receiver runs the flag, the outside receiver comes in motion, runs the under, and the inside receiver runs on option route. So that is Fool and Fool HO. Patriots also have Flask, another 3 receiver concept in their playbook. And Flask is a route concept that combines a post, that 7 stop, and a diagonal. And so this is, again, 3 receiver concept, outside receiver comes in motion, and then he runs the post route, middle receiver runs that 7 stop where you start to the outside, you break vertically, then you break to the outside like it's a corner route, and then you turn and stop. And finally, the inside receiver runs, again, that diagonal route. We've talked about that a lot over the past couple of shows. And that is that route to the flat at a depth of about basically 2 to 3 yards. Now, as I said, the Patriots have what they call some cities, some city concept, and one of those is Frisco. So, for example, a play could be G Trips Right, Zig 64, Rat, Z Frisco, Chip Flair. And so you have the formation, Trips Right. Zig is the Z receiver, comes in and then goes back out in motion. Z Frisco refers to the tight end, the Y receiver running the under, and the Z receiver after that motion running the 12-yard in or out. And then the tag receiver is that H-back who's running the chip and then a flare. It says here, coach would point that tag receiver, which is the running back, can return if walled off. So if you somehow get a corner squat in the flat, you can return. The other parts to this play, you get rat, which is basically mirrored curl hooks comebacks from each receiver. So the X receiver to the left on the 3x1, he's a single receiver, runs his deep comeback. And then the other untagged receiver, which is F, the F receiver is part of the trips, the outside receiver, he runs that deep comeback kind of flare thing as well. And so that is G Trips Right, Zig 64, Rat, Z Frisco, Chip Flare. A lot of stuff I'm throwing at you here. And also, I figured since we're talking to motion, we can talk about Finn, which is an F receiver motion concept. Whereas you heard Zig, where the Z receiver comes into motion towards the football, then motions back out. You see that sometimes? Fing, F-I-N-G, that is where the F receiver comes in and stays in. You usually see that where they motion into a stack or into a bunch. We've talked about that some with some of these three receiver route concepts. So those are some of the plays in the Patriots playbook with the letters E and F. Well, again, just F, because there is nothing that I found with the letter E. So there you go. Up next, we're going to talk a lot about Julian Edelman, and one moment in particular that we're going to have to play some audio from, because let's face it, I hear it, I get chills. So we'll close it out, this third installment of Patriots A to Z, next on Locked On Patriots.
Here's Edelman, broken up, and the pass is no sign yet. Edelman comes down with a football, and they're saying it's a catch. And we'll get another look at this. Alford knocked it up into the air, and let's see who comes down with it. Oh, that's a catch.
Oh, my God.
That's incredible.
That's amazing concentration by Julian Edelman to be able to make...
Mark Schofield back with you now. I'm going to close out this installment of Patriots A to Z, talking a lot about that man, Julian Edelman. You just heard, obviously, the Fox call from Super Bowl 51 with Edelman making that miraculous catch against the Atlanta Falcons. And we're going to spend a lot on that moment. I'm going to have the 98.5 call from that play in a second. But I do want to sort of tee this up by talking about how Edelman might be the sort of quintessential do-your-job New England Patriot, right? Drafted in the seventh round, picked 232. Was a quarterback at Kent State, but had a blazing three-cone, and there's a reason why the jokes are made. Anytime somebody has a good three-cone at the combine, you see those jokes on the timeline. It's partly because that's what they value, the change of direction ability, and Edelman has kind of shown the way. You know, he comes to New England in 2009 and starts right away as a receiver, doing some punt return stuff. In 2009, we remember that moment from NFL Films type of thing, where Welker was kind of joking with Belichick saying, good, let the kid do it. And Belichick starts calling him Wally Pip. You know, he carved out a role. He played some defense for this team. He was covering Anquan Boldin in an AFC Championship game on a final drive situation. Not something you expect to see every day, but he would find a way to get onto the field. And eventually, over time, he establishes himself as one of Tom Brady's go-tos. And he's had some incredible playoff runs for this team. He just came off a season where he was Super Bowl 53 MVP. Why? On a night when Tom Brady threw for 262, he had 141 receiving. Nobody else was close. Gronk had 87, and like Burkhead had 15, Patterson had 14, White had 5. I mean, he had 12 targets, 10 receptions for 141 on a night when not many people were doing much of anything offensively. And of course, look, there's this moment. And I had never listened to the 98.5 call. I'm glad I did. I'm going to play it for you now.
228. Edelman, Bennett, White to the right. Amendola, Hogan to the left as Mitchell gets a well-deserved blow. From the near hash of the 36. Shotgun snap to Brady. Stands in. Throws down low for Edelman. Ball's tipped. And Julian diving for it. As Olford cut in front of the receiver. Edelman has it. Did he make the catch?
He did! You gotta be kidding
me! At the 40! The ball was tipped by Olford. The Patriots are going to try to line up and snap, and Dan Quinn is going to throw the challenge flag. The ball was hit high in the air. Edelman leaping forward, making the grab.
He's
the
got
ball
it.
On the left foot of Olford.
He's got it.
Edelman made the catch off the deflection. Eventually, his arms underneath the
Atlanta
left foot of the defensive
back. Challenging the ruling on the field of a completed pass.
Corralling
the
pass.
Play.
These Did things, the ball hit the turf?
Fourth quarters, late in games in Super Bowls. These things don't happen to New England. They usually go against them.
Can you say David Tyree and Jermaine Kearse?
Oh, I'd like to take one more look at this one. I mean,
again, the Patriots were trying to hurry to the line of scrimmage.
What a catch.
Alford, frauding Edelman, leaping, batting the ball high in the air. And what a reaction by Julian Edelman, diving back. And there were three Falcons there. Alford, accompanied by two of his teammates. All diving after the ball, carried high in the air, and Edelman has his hands underneath it and his arms around. And in fact, there was a bobble, but he was able to catch it before it hit the turf.
Okay, this has allowed you to get your breath on offense. Not only does this delay and this challenge by Dan Quinn give you the ball, it allows your offense to get their bearings about them.
In a way, that was a kick save and a beauty by the defensive back.
What a
the
play.
The ball hit his foot, enabling Edelman to make the catch. And again, there was a bit of a bobble, but Julian gathered it back into those red gloves. And the Patriots await the ruling by Carl Cheffers, the referee.
After review, the ruling on the field is confirmed. The receiver's hand is under the ball. The ball never hits the ground. Atlanta will be charged with their third and final charge timeout. It is also their second challenge. They have no challenges remaining.
So the Falcons out of timeouts on the challenge. The Patriots have two timeouts.
I think Scott Zolak summed up what a lot of us were feeling at that moment. Most of the time, these catches had gone against us, right? You know, Tyree. You know, Jermaine Kearse. These catches had gone against us so many times, time in and time out. Was another team making a play like this against us? As a matter of fact, in this game, it's Super Bowl 53, the Julio Jones catch. Unfortunately for Julio Jones, it's not many people remember it, right? Because of the fact that, look, they ended up losing that game. But right when the Patriots have gotten back into this one, Ryan hits Julio Jones for 27 yards on a 2nd and 8 from the Patriots' 49-yard line. So with 4:40 left, Atlanta has an 8-point lead, and they're in field goal range. And if Atlanta wins that game, everybody remembers Julio Jones' reception. And frankly, people still remember because it was a good throw by Ryan, just an incredible catch from Jones. But the Patriots, they come up huge. Atlanta stays aggressive. Trey Flowers gets a sack. They get an offensive penalty holding. And on 3rd and 33 from the 45-yard line, a pass for Taylor Gabriel falls incomplete, and Atlanta has to punt. And that sets the stage for Edelman and this catch. And so this Edelman moment was a huge moment for this team and for this franchise that had seen so many plays like this go against them. Instead, Edelman keeps his concentration, makes this catch, and delivers one of the biggest moments in Patriots history. That will do it for today's show. I will be back tomorrow. Tomorrow we are doing G&H, which means we're going to talk some players, we're going to talk some plays, and we're going to talk some moments, including one involving a snowplow. That's all ahead as Patriots A to Z rolls on here at Locked On Patriots.